Here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right. Apparently, several people in New York City Central Park, they were left, quote, horrified and disturbed earlier this week. What happened? I'm glad you asked. A carriage horse. It was pulling a buggy with two passengers through the park when it just dropped dead. Now, those who saw it happen, including the two passengers, they can't get the image out of their heads. And as one witness said, this is the second time I've seen this in the last 10 months. Horse and buggy, Central Park. And I guess, look, nobody actually saw that coming. But meanwhile, in Florida, a Navy base employee, he went for a swim with a co-worker during their lunch break. Unfortunately, a shark was also on a lunch break and attacked the guy. It didn't kill him, but he's in critical condition. And, of course, there's video of the attack, and it contains a whole lot of screaming. And then the screaming stops when the shark pulls him underwater. You can't really unhear or unsee it, but that's how it goes sometimes. There's things that you see that will forever be burned into your brain. And unlike the dead horse and the shark attack, it's not always a bad thing that gets etched into your mind's eye. I remember seeing my first boob. I remember it clearly. Still very much a positive in my life. I remember seeing the birth of my children. It was weird, but pretty cool. I remember the look on my daughter's face when she found out that I was taking her to San Diego Comic-Con. I also remember the look on my mother's face when she found out I'd missed 120 out of 180 days of my junior year in high school. We'll just leave that one at that. Her face was not happy, but I will always, always remember her face. And that's what we're talking about today, man. There's good stuff, there's bad stuff, there's weird stuff, there's cool stuff. But inevitably, there's different points during your life where you just see something. And for whatever reason, good or bad, that thing just sticks in your brain and you remember it like it was yesterday. And that's what today's question, brought to you by our friends at Advanced Hair Restoration, is all about. Today, we want to know, good or bad, what image would you always remember seeing?
To be a part of the big show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live. Send your emails to themensroom at KISW.com and now watch the show live on YouTube at KISW Rock.
99.9 KISW.
Hold the away we go. Welcome to the 21st Amendment season, episode number 4,546. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat, the exciting return of Who Sucks Less. I don't know how you do it. You find people doing bad stuff in the news. You bring us three stories each and every week. It is up to us to determine, out of the three stories, which one sucks the least. Do we have a theme today on Who Sucks Less?
Not really intentionally, but it does come down to a matter of people threatening coworkers.
Oh.
I just realized that now in this case.
Yeah.
People threatening coworkers. I will say in one of the stories, that'll be the first one, there's two people involved. And while one guy made a bad decision, I understand why he made the decision he made. Maybe he escalated things, but I'm just saying, I completely understand where he's coming from, even if he didn't do the right thing. So with that particular story, the Who Sucks Less might be like, look, is it the guy that provoked this guy or the guy's response to the provocation? Yep.
Before we left Baltimore, our boss accused me of threatening his life.
He didn't accuse you. He asked you if you were threatening to kill him.
Yes.
And your response was, no, I want to kill you, but I'm not going to kill you.
Because I can't.
And this went on over and over. It's like, wait,
are you threatening to kill me?
And Miles kept saying,
no, I want to really bad, but I can't.
But I can't kill you. Mm-hmm. That is a weird Baltimore thing. I had that guy named Chip. We got into an argument. I don't remember what it was even about at this point, but he got super pissed. I remember he jumped up, ripped off his ball cap, and he's like, do you want to fight? This is in a studio at like midnight, right? I was like, Chip, I would kill you. All right, just typical throwaway. Yeah. I didn't give it another thought. I come in the next day, and the boss is like, did you threaten to kill Chip? I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, no, man. So I explained the scenario to the boss. He completely understood. But he did say, look, Chip's really upset. Can you just do me a favor and write Chip a note of apology?
An apology.
So I said, hey, you know what? No problem. So the boss did not read it in advance. I handed it to Chip. Chip read it out loud. So said, Chip, I'm sincerely sorry that you're such a pee.
That didn't go over very well.
Yeah, yeah, he made me write another one.
Yeah, I bet he did. Who Sucks Less is coming up at 4:30 here on the program. Guess what else we have for you today?
What do we have?
We have another prize.
Uh-oh.
On Profile This.
Let's go.
Now, yesterday, we did not get a winner.
We did not.
All right, so
you
that
led him astray.
Because you lost your $200 gift, your dining credit there at Slahal, the steakhouse.
That's correct.
But I believe today is a bigger prize.
Yeah.
Now, as you know, at Emerald Queen, it is a brand new casino. It's a brand new hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? These rooms all overlook downtown Tacoma, mm-hmm. and they are spectacular. You've stayed in them before, Ted.
I have, yeah. I stayed in the room there and ate at the steakhouse. It was great.
I did the whole thing.
There's a pool.
Everything you can win, I've done. That's what Ted just told you.
All right. So
it is nice.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed my stay.
All right. Have any of you ever spent the night in a suite in a hotel before? I have not.
In a suite.
In a suite.
We got a suite once, but it was... I can't remember which hotel flag it was. So it had been like the equivalent of Holiday Inn, right? So whatever room we're staying in, it's a volleyball trip. I can't remember what was wrong with our room. Oh, when we checked in, the woman said, hey, the room we had for you, it's still dirty. Would you mind an upgrade? I'm like, of course not. So we got the equivalent of a Holiday Inn suite. Mm-hmm. It wasn't bad. It's just bigger. It had two bedrooms and all that kind of thing. And I'm like, but as far as suites go, I'm like, look, listen. And again, it wasn't Holiday Inn, but about the equivalent level. I'm like,
okay.
All right, but we're in a suite.
When I was 16, 17 years old, I was teaching swimming. And the only indoor pool they had was at a resort that was, you know, golf course, tennis courts, workout facility, the whole deal. And so, but they had an indoor pool. So we were teaching kids how to swim, all that crap. And because you got like a certification, if you took these classes, then eventually you could take, we had an advanced lifeguarding class. Now, this pool was pretty chlorined up because it was inside.
Wait, what's an advanced lifeguard?
Well,
you're
telling
me, I'm not an advanced lifeguard, buddy, so I can pull you out of the water, but I can't do CPR.
No, you could work in a pool.
Okay.
So you could get paid to be a lifeguard.
All right.
Well, you know, we had all kinds
of... I'm just saying.
We had all, like, different...
I don't want a lower-tier lifeguard if you're a lifeguard.
But we had those classes, too. If you wanted to learn how to save a life in a pool, resuscitate people, all those things. So we had that, and then we had the advanced version of that.
Is that for, like, ponds and rivers?
Where you got your
what is the advanced? Like, what...
It was just a longer period of time on the curriculum. So in other words,
I just feel like my lifeguard's like, look, right. I didn't get my advanced degree, so I think I remember how to do this. Like, I don't want to hear that.
Okay, one of the requirements was you had to tread water for 20 minutes.
All right.
Now, I don't know if you realize how long 20 minutes is. Pretty long time to tread water.
Sure.
A lot of people just failed at that.
I believe that.
But that was part of, you know, getting your certificate. But anyway, so I'm doing my thing, diving at the bottom of the pool, and I see this big-ass key. At the bottom of the pool. So I dive down and pick it up off the bottom of the pool, come up to the top, and it says Governor's Suite. And now I'm like, all right, man. So, you know, again, 16, 17 years old, we knew where the Governor's Suite was.
Sure.
On the outside of the property. So if we walked around the perimeter of the property, we could look and see, are there any lights on in here? Is anyone in here? So we were able to sneak into the suite. And just kind of, I don't know, I borrow a bottle of liquor or two.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is a fully stocked bar.
It's the governor.
With a kitchen, I mean, dining room, the whole that. That is the only suite I've ever been in because we found the key at the bottom of the pool. But
I'm sure you've been in another suite. I mean, some hotel, like you're thinking about like a suite on like a top floor or whatever.
So what then constitutes? Is it like multiple bedrooms?
No, it just depends on what the place is. Sometimes it was just a really nice boutique-y hotel. Technically, those are all suites.
Okay, all right. I've stayed at the Spring Hill Suites.
You know what? I have stayed at
the Fairfield Inn Suites.
I take that back. First time we went to Mexico, because I didn't book it, my wife did. So it's only 9 rooms at this hotel. When you brought boutiques, Dad, that's what made me think of it.
Yeah.
And she got, quote-unquote, their penthouse.
Okay.
Right, that's like another level.
Now, again, like, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. It wasn't like $1 million, but mm-hmm. it was still the nicest room that they had at this place.
Yeah, so, I'm staying in like a jacuzzi jetted suite.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, all right.
So not only will you win the tickets to Blackberry Smoke, but you will also win a suite for the night.
That is correct.
For the night, for Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
So you go see the show, you check in before that, you can stay the night in that suite for the night. That is the prize coming up today on Profile This at 5:15. So, yes, hopefully someone can win that one today. That's a pretty good prize. All right, today on The Question, we're going to talk about things that you will always remember seeing, images that will always be burned into your brain, whether it be a small item or a larger item. Whether it be something that was significant or not, you don't really know what is going to stick with you as far as images that you have seen in your lifetime.
It's random stuff, man. I mean, you know, I was thinking about this today, and there's obvious stuff, like I said, birth of the kids and all this. And then there's random things where it's not important in my life. But I've told you the first time my son saw a dwarf when we were at a supermarket, and the dwarf was holding an apple. This is not a significant moment, but I can point that dude out right now if I saw him. It is burned into my brain. Maybe because of the angry look he was giving me.
Yeah.
Like, That's there. Then there was a video you showed me, Miles, of the guy basically getting stomped by an elephant.
Right.
And it was uncomfortable, but like, so I have a dwarf holding an apple in a supermarket. I have an elephant stomping a man to death on a video. Both of those things weigh equally in my head.
There's times where you see something, you're like, well, I'll never see that again.
I was playing golf.
PJ's boob.
When I was growing up, and a tree basically fell maybe 15, 20 feet in front of me. Huge-ass tree. But it had been around 50, 100 years.
Yeah.
And then just, boom. And I'm like, well, I'm never going to see that again. Actually, I have. I've seen it twice now. But at the time, I thought, well, that tree was big.
Right, right.
That was a big-ass tree. And I thank God we weren't walking. We had to walk that direction. We had to walk around the damn thing. But it was insane. We were probably, I don't know, 20 years old at the time.
Yeah.
But just to watch a tree die. And then we went and looked at the root system.
Most people say watch a tree fall. I think you can put the negative spin. Just to watch the tree die.
Well, it died. And then the whole underneath side we could see was termites were everywhere.
Sure.
Underneath the bottom of the root system. So obviously they killed the tree, but it was
still, I saw the last space shuttle.
The actual right, launch?
Well, because Artemis was like a different...
Yeah, Artemis is different than the shuttle. The shuttle is right, only so
the,
reusable.
The last space shuttle was, what, 2011?
All right.
And I was in Disney World, and where we were at Old Key West Resort... We timed it out. We were at the pool. We weren't in the park. And you could see that thing take off.
Could you hear
it? That's awesome.
You couldn't hear it.
Okay.
But you could see it.
That's one thing. My brother went to the actual launch.
What's the one in Florida? Cape Canaveral?
Cape Canaveral. Because my brother went. He may have been at that launch. It may have been the last space.
It was a massive deal.
And so there is a staging area when you're quote-unquote invited. And I don't know how far away you are. It's like, you're not close because of all the combustion and everything going on. But he goes, you feel the ground rattle. It's like, then the sound hits you, and he goes, it's ridiculously loud. And then basically the shockwave of air hits you, like, it is hot.
Mm-hmm.
You're close. I'm like, what are you, like, 15 feet away? Like, dude, you're like 2 miles, 3 miles away.
I've
but he said it was, and he works in a lot of things. He gets to work in the NFL. He sees everything, right? But he's like, that was one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a meteorite cluster shower, which looked like, you know, 10 meteors just going through the atmosphere. So, like, not one shooting star, but a whole group of them coming down and burning up. That was pretty cool on the desert.
That's one of the things I'm torn on, right? So not that, but when they, what was the last shuttle? It's like Columbia that burned up on its way back.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it burns up on its way back. It's trying to make its landing, I guess, in Houston because all this happened over Texas. But anyway, the video they showed looked spectacular because, to your point, it looked like shooting stars. So, like, the image was cool. And I'm like, man, that's badass. I did not realize what had happened. And then they explain what you're looking at. And I'm like, oh, damn.
Now, this situation that happened yesterday in Florida, actually it was Monday, was not something you ever want to witness. There is video of this. They have edited it to some degree, so it's not as horrific as they give you a clip of it, a snip.
And apparently they're confused about what they're looking at.
But a lunchtime swim at a Florida Navy base ended in a critical emergency on Monday. A civilian employee at the Naval Support Activity Panama City base was attacked by a shark at about 11:45. He was in the water with a coworker, officials say. The man, believed to be in his late 20s, suffered serious injuries to both arms. He was rushed to the Gulf Coast Hospital. He did undergo surgery and was listed in critical condition. His colleague was not hurt. But video from the shore.
Oh, yeah.
Posted online appears to show the victim screaming for help near the marina.
It does not appear to show it. It shows it.
As a dorsal fin surfaces beside him, before then he disappears under the water. The base's commanding officer thanked first responders for the quick action, offered support to the man's family. The employee has not been publicly identified. The water off the panhandle, they say, is a nursery for shark species.
They also say that the shark attacks are very rare. I was reading that, and I'm like, all right. I understand what you're saying percentage-wise, but we read that once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's incredibly rare is not brought up every 7 days.
It does seem different. It was on the Gulf side.
Well, that's, you know, there's a ton of sharks up there.
There is, but I'm just saying, generally when you think Florida.
Smyrna Beach or whatever.
Or you're thinking, right, what's it, New Smyrna Beach.
Yeah.
Or like down in like Fort Lauderdale or Miami.
He was probably thinking that too.
Yeah, so it is kind of odd that right there at Panama City or like Pensacola, like that one kind of, I was like, oh, wow. The Gulf.
And then you realize, you know, everyone pictures Jaws. Like, the shark was not nearly that big. It just needs to be a shark.
Yep.
You know, I mean, like I said, the shark looked about the same size as him, but the shark won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They say Kilauea is not done making history. The Hawaiian volcano logged its 48th burst in its ongoing eruption. edging past a 1980s benchmark to set a new record for the most fountaining episodes ever recorded for an episodic fountaining eruption. Though episodes are separated by pauses, they are all occurring at the same vents in the crater, meaning they make up the same eruption. They say episode 48 kicked off around 4:40 a.m. local time, as people witnessed lava shooting 500 to 650 feet into the air.
Damn.
And feeding a plume that climbed over 20,000 feet. That actually prompted ashfall advisories for nearby areas. The pace of these is what stands out. The current eruption, which began December of 2024, has produced roughly one episode every 10 days over about 18 months. They say a previous eruption in 1983, in contrast, took about 3.5 years to reach 47 events. So this thing is blowing up a lot faster. And scientists say there's no indication it's winding down, calling the ongoing activity an event for the history books, and people are taking advantage of watching this thing blow.
I mean, look, most of us in here, up until Mount St. Helens, when I was a kid and you brought up a volcanic eruption, it was always the Hawaii vision of it. Yeah. You know, it's red lava, it's spewing, it's not taking anything out, but there's lava. And then Mount St. Helens blew, and I'm like, but there's no lava. My dad's like, right, that's part of the problem, bro. I mean, that's just, he's like, the mountain's gone. I'm like, oh.
That was just a giant poof.
Yeah, but I do remember all the images from that. Just in my lifetime, I just never thought something like that would happen on the mainland. All volcanoes were in Hawaii, and they're always orange, and they're always kind of
flat. You know what, to be honest with you,
nowadays it's better, but you're right. Like, when I grew up, like, yeah, the idea there was volcanoes all around in the Northwest. Like, just we just didn't know.
Right. Because if you're not spewing orange lava all the time, then in our mind, you're not a volcano.
And we say stuff like, because we grew up in the area. Like, how do you not know Gettysburg is in Pennsylvania? You know, but if you don't live there and you
there's
don't
no
know.
There's no reason you would know.
Yeah. So when we moved out here, I mean, I knew Mount St. Helens blew, but I was 10 years old or however.
Yeah, was it 10 or 11.
1980? Was that?
80, yeah.
Yeah. So when that thing blew, I was 10 years old. When we moved out here and people said the Mount St. Helens was down the road, I'm like, huh.
I know.
It's in Washington. Thing. Rainier had no. I mean, I'd heard of it, had no idea what I saw it. I was like, Jesus Christ! All these mountains. I guess I just did not geographically know that they were all in the state.
So, I think I knew they're in the state, but I don't think I could be in downtown Seattle, look and see Rainier, which to this day still just stops me in my tracks every time I see it. But you're like, holy Jesus, man.
So our question, good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.
From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room.
Urgent search is underway for a venomous snake that's gone missing on a commercial plane.
Oh.
The snake was spotted on a Boeing 787 Dreamliner after it traveled from Mexico to London with the 345 passengers on board, somehow not noticing the reptile slithering under their feet. A cleaner made the terrifying discovery on Friday. He spotted the red scaly snake on board the plane after passengers had disembarked.
Yeah.
A ground crew worker snapped a photo of the snake before then it goes missing. The snake is believed to be a mock viper, which is considered venomous and has brought the plane to a standstill. Now, experts have been brought in to search for the reptile. However, as yet, there's been no luck in locating the snake on the plane. The airline is believed to be under the impression that a passenger might have smuggled the snake onto the plane before it broke free and slithered away. It's not known what damage the snake could do to the mechanics of the plane. If it would happen to go...
Yeah, chew through wires or hug on something,
The sight of the snake almost gave the airline cleaner a heart attack. But by the time they had raised the alarm, the animal had disappeared. There was no one. There was no way, they said, the airliner could be allowed to take off again.
No.
If passengers had seen that snake at 30,000 feet, there would have been blind panic, they say, and pandemonium on board. Our question, good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Tina. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, Beaches. How are you?
Hola. What up, Tina?
Hola. Okay, the worst thing I've ever seen in my life, okay? I'm standing in line for hours and hours trying to buy these tickets. I go to the concert, Mr. Ted Nugent, and he flies over my head with his loincloth, okay? Now, I saw the littlest, pinkest testes that you could ever imagine. I believe that Ted Nugent is a hunter because he's trying to look for them.
Damn.
You're telling
me wow, Tina. The worst image you have ever seen are Ted Nugent's tiny.
Even under anesthesia, okay? It's horrifying. I can't even go there.
What year is this that you saw a shriveled up pink testicles?
Oh, God. Let me see. Probably 1979.
All right.
I've never thought of it in the same way again.
Really? It ruined you.
Oh, God. I'm ruined for life.
Was he really sweaty, Teddy?
I don't know. He was more pink than sweaty.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, at least it wasn't death.
Yeah, I mean,
you call that right? Sad. It's yeah. Awesome to die
right
away. Oh, my God.
I almost died, but not quite.
Okay.
If thank I ever you. Meet him, I'm going to let him know. Say, Ted, you don't know this about you, but the worst image that a woman has ever seen was one of your conscience. Mm-hmm. And he'll say, what happened? Like, oh, nothing. You just wore her underwear and she saw your shriveled up pink testicles. That's all I know, man.
That seems about on par for that guy. I'm going to play a whole show and not wear underwear.
Yeah, I mean, I dig it. Just maybe it'll fly over the audience.
Yeah. That seems crazy to not wear underwear flying over the audience.
But then again, it's Ted Nugent. It's probably very much like, look, I'm not going to wear underwear. Make sure I can fly over the audience.
Yeah,
I mean, he's that guy. Like, hey, man, let him lick up and soak it in, ladies.
Yeah. All right. We go to Montana. A 13-year-old boy was seriously injured after falling from a ride at the carnival being held in the parking lot of the Butte Civic Center on Sunday afternoon. Police responded to the Midwest Amusements Carnival just after 3 o'clock in the north parking lot. The boy suffered serious injuries in the fall. He fell from the very top, and they do not have a condition on him as of Sunday night. After that, the ride was cordoned off and shut down by police pending further investigation. But multiple witnesses saw the boy fall on the parking lot.
That'll stick with you, man.
Well, with my fear of heights, the idea of watching that, like there's certain even videos online that I can't watch.
Sure.
Because I can't see it. I can't watch it.
The only thing that I've seen like that, and I've told this before, was just the hang glider. I'm like 8 or 9 years old. We lived in Colorado and my dad and I went to whatever kind of show it was because it wasn't just hang gliders. There's all kinds of stuff going on, but you're watching this hang glider, and I don't know how far away he was. He was not close, but you could hear him screaming. And at first, we thought it was part of the show because there's like this big-ass radio antenna there. And when you're watching, he's kind of circling around it.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, ooh, ah, that kind of thing. And then at some point, it just kind of clicks in all of our minds. Maybe he's screaming because he can't control it, and he kept getting closer, right? Like going down the drain, kind of. And from my vantage point, I could not see the bottom of the radio tower. I couldn't see where it met the ground, but I very vividly remember watching his hang glider just hit this thing, and then he just dropped. But he disappeared from my view before I saw him hit the ground, which I'm fine with, because still it's bad enough. But I remember my dad, super calm about it, you know, like this thing happens, and there's just a hush in the crowd, because it's very obvious, like, oh, man. So my dad grabs my hand, he's like, okay, let's go home, right? I mean,
show's over.
It's done. Let's run. There's nothing we can do.
Speed the traffic, kids.
You know, I think he made the right decision based on my age. But I just remember watching this guy like, oh, look at that, man. He's getting real close to the tower. Like, I don't think he's supposed to be getting close. Oh. And then there's that, oh. That weird kind of low. I don't know what it was back then. People didn't scream as much. Like, nowadays, people just scream. It seemed like back then it was just a collective, oh. So I'll give him the shark video we watched. People were screaming. The guy was screaming. But I feel like in the 70s, it just would have been, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude, that's it.
I flew into Reno back in 2011.
Oh.
Not that long after, unfortunately, they had that terrible accident at their air races.
Oh, yeah.
They're kind of famous for those air races. And I mean, I think I got there like a few days afterwards. And I mean, I don't know how to explain it, but you could tell how bad it affected people in this town. Like, the airport seemed quieter.
Really?
Like, when I got to the place I was going, there was a couple people that were like, yeah, I was there. It is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a buddy that races in those things. And when that happened, I'm like, man, are you still going to keep doing it? Because he makes his homemade stuff. You know what I mean? And hell yeah, man. He's like, that was that guy. I'm still doing it. Mm-hmm. His wife was not happy, but he's been doing it ever since. Just what he does.
Yeah. They did a reel for the radio station I worked at when I was growing up in Morgantown. I can't remember what anniversary it was. Might have been 50 years at that point in time. But they were known for their news department.
All right.
So their news department covered a lot of Pittsburgh and the West Virginia area. And it was the big AM news channel, sure. You know, in the area for radio. So the one guy was a correspondent. He would go to D.C. He would cover all the major events.
Yeah.
And he would work for, like, WABC up there and do reports. Depending on where he was going, he would get on the train and go cover, like, the Eastern Seaboard. And so he was the main anchor on WAJR. And they had the video of the Hindenburg. So he was at the Hindenburg. And you well, see
how
the,
old was this guy?
You see these? God, oh, he wasn't alive. They were just. Oh, oh, oh. They were just okay. Showing. Like these are.
No, seriously. I thought you were saying like he's covering like, the Hindenburg. No,
it's like anything else. You know, like if we have 55 years here, if they show the first DJs on the air, more than likely they're dead.
Yeah,
I'm just sorry, they're dead. It was the same thing as that. These were like great moments in WAJR history.
All right,
from over the years, like whether it was covering, you know, Mate Juan or whatever the hell it was, all these different things that happened. But there was a bridge that collapsed in where the Mothman is.
Yeah.
All kinds of just weird stuff. So that was all part of this montage. But when the Hindenburg thing came on, man, people are jumping.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going, oh, the humanity and all this crap.
And, yeah. And all this crap.
Yeah. But the things on fire, man, those people, most of them lived.
Yeah.
Most of the people who jumped lived. It was all the people that stayed in the canopy or that thing below it.
Yeah.
That perished.
Guess that's the word, yeah.
Yeah, whatever the thing below it is, the little, you know, seating area. But the people who jumped lived. But it was so nuts to see, just, it was like it was a sea of people.
Yeah, I mean, given the options, man.
And every time I walk in, like, they had it on a reel, like on a VHS tape in the lobby or whatever, and you walk in, you're like, oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
This thing again, you know, it's just like, gee, but you had to stop and watch it. It was just like, it's crazy.
Every time, I've seen it a million times now, and if you put it on, I will watch it.
Good or bad, what image will always be burned in your head? 206-803-ROCK.
Now, what's the story? Mike, maybe you told me this, or Miles, maybe you did. Or Ted, maybe you. But they said, so the guy that's famous for calling the Hindenburg thing, you know, all the humanity, there's something like, I want to say this, look, that's not my actual, it's my voice.
They sped it up.
They sped it up, right. So,
and it's like, I don't know.
That's what everyone imitates, but that's not what he sounds like.
No, and because I watched a whole special on it, and Miles would know too, and I forget the reason, but it's like they added it in like after, and they sped it up.
So he'd have been more like, oh, the humanity, but everything was like, oh, the humanity.
Right, he would have been talking normal, but that's why his voice sounds kind of different than what his voice normally would, because they sped it up.
It's not important, but for whatever reason, that bugs me. Like, dude, this is this big historical
event. Let's
change
the pitch on this.
Yeah, come on.
Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.
There's a lot of, I mean, if you watch as much like history shows as I do, there's a ton of stuff in our history that is just wrong.
Just straight up.
Well, like Paul Revere was not alone. There was a couple people with him.
Yeah,
he kind of screwed it up. But there was a famous book that came out that was just about his
ride.
Made
him a hero.
Right.
Well, that's the thing, when we were kids and they told the story, you know, the British are coming, the British are coming. We were like, well, Didn't the British know that there was a man screaming this at the top of his lungs? And I got the teacher did not know as much as you know, so it's just kind of like, yeah, we don't know. It just seemed weird as kids. I'm like, how is this secret if you're running through town screaming at the top of your lungs? It just doesn't make sense to me. Only to find out, because that's not what happened.
Right.
Oh, okay. Hello, Van. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, so I was working as a valet in Tacoma, downtown Good Sam, early in the morning. Guy was trying to get ahead of his yard work and was doing some gutter cleaning. Slipped and fell through his ladder, and his leg went halfway through one of the rungs, and he fell backwards and broke his leg. Neighbor found him and brought him in. Guy came in with his bones sticking out of his leg.
Oh.
That would be the worst thing that I saw as a valet there. He's yelling at me to get help. Again, I'm a valet. The most help I can do is get a nurse, you know what I mean? But that was probably the worst thing I saw as a valet in Tacoma.
Huh. I mean, did you point out to him, sir, I'm a valet?
I thought you would have something completely different to say.
Yeah. The guy that drove in with him was like, you gotta get help. Help me get him out. I was like, I cannot touch this man. I can get somebody for you, but I cannot touch this person. It was a pretty intense situation.
Now, is it that you couldn't touch him because those are the valet rules, or you couldn't touch him because you are not dealing with the bones sticking out of the man's leg?
Kind of both. I don't know how to pick this person up without possibly making it worse. And I'm paid to drive cars, man. I wish I could help, but I don't want to make the situation worse, you know?
Damn. Where were you working? Hotel Murano? Who has valets down there?
No, it was Good Sam's. I was at a hospital.
Oh. Wow. Okay. All right.
So you're valeting at a hospital, but you're not getting involved.
No. Yeah, just valet. That's all we do. So I was at the emergency department. Pull up. We take your car. You go into the ER. And then we park your car from there. But we're not allowed to help with anybody medically. We're just valets.
Well, how many different weird things did you see then? Because if you're the valet at the emergency door, obviously, I come pulling up. Nothing good is going on in my vehicle. So
no.
And obviously, I'm in a hurry.
A lot of ODs, a lot of stabbing, such like that. But that was probably the most horrific thing that I physically saw.
Yeah, like when you open the door, what do you like, emergency bed for what?
Yeah, I mean,
no, it was a lot of craziness on a regular basis, and we opened up, so I was there at 4:30 in the morning downtown Tacoma, and so nothing ever good.
No, there's no chance.
I mean, that's still working hours for people that are in that line of work.
That is exactly it. Yeah, we call those the Aurora hours.
Yeah. Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.
Teetering that line between the last customer and the first customer of the day.
That's exactly it. Am I last in line or first? Do most hospitals have valet? I honestly, I've never thought to look. Is that a normal thing? Because I get it. You pull up to the emergency room, right? You're obviously in a hurry, hence an emergency. But I've never thought to look. I did not realize that was something. Because, Miles, you told the story yesterday where you basically had to crawl around the outside of the hospital.
Yeah.
But you just saw Shaquise for, like, an employee, right? And asked him to do you a favor.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't a valet.
Well, I was parked right in front of the door.
Yeah.
So when I finally got back into my car and drove it all the way around the hospital, it was one of those, you know, where you pull in and you're literally 6 feet away from the double.
But it wasn't a valet, right? It was just some dude like in scrubs.
It was a dude with ambulance driver. I was like, man, please park this thing for me.
Okay.
I just threw in my keys and he came back in and ended up putting me in a wheelchair because the emergency room was pretty busy that day. So like,
yeah, funny thing about emergency rooms.
Yeah, because I'm still like, you know, just I hopped into the emergency room. There was no place to sit. He's just like, here, dude, just sit in this chair.
No one offered you a seat. I mean, it just seems like if someone's crawling in, like, hey, you know, exactly, man.
I mean, I held on. I was doing the best I can.
You can tell when someone can't walk. I mean, I'd be like, bro.
If you saw my leg, you'd be like, oh, God, somebody get this guy a seat. Good good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.
I like that no one offered you one. Hello, Ramon. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, mofos.
Hola.
Hey, I was just calling about, unfortunately, it's about an accident I seen. I grew up on North Beacon Hill, right off of I-90, and I seen a gentleman running from the state troopers coming towards Beacon Hill on I-90, and right at the Beacon Hill entrance, they had high curbs that were probably a foot to 18 inches. Well, this guy had a car that looked exactly like the Dukes of Hazzard car. Running from the police, he hit the curb doing over 100 miles an hour.
Oh.
Unfortunately, from the impact from hitting the curb, it drove his motor onto his lap. So he was sitting there screaming.
Oh.
And I was just probably 11 or 12 years old, and the guy from the news station, I imagine it was Como 4 News, I believe, he was trying to distract us by giving us cherries off the tree, and we're trying to see what's going on in the car because the guy is just screaming.
The reporter did his best, and I get it, but like, man, if you're looking at a group of 10-year-old boys, there's a man with a motor sitting on his lap screaming, nothing's going to distract
him. I'm surprised TV got there that quick, but, you know, either way.
Yeah, it was something else. And I see a lot of car accidents down there. I've seen a Chevron truck tip over, blow up in flames.
Jesus.
But that one with a guy screaming and his motor sitting on his lap and he's just burning the heck out of him.
How long was this going on?
Oh, it must have been a half hour to 45 minutes before they were able to extract him, and I don't know if he may have amputated his knees just to get him out of there, because I imagine that was like a 383 motor big block sitting on his lap, so it may have amputated it by just the impact.
Yeah, or it could have burned him. I mean, you gotta remember how hot that engine is.
Did you stay there the whole time watching this?
Oh, yeah, but of course, we're kids.
I mean, even as an adult, I would, man. I mean, that's... Wow.
Yeah, it was something I'll never forget. That's, you know, and unfortunately, it has to be something like that. But, yeah, it was...
Well, I mean, you remember stuff as kids. I joke around about Herky in a house burning down, but when his house caught on fire...
Well, you made it funny. I mean, it's not a funny story, but you made it funny. This tragic event, you made funny. So now, every time you bring him up, even though we know it doesn't end well, we already smile.
Right. Man. That's just a wild way to start a sentence.
Well, okay.
That's a funny story about the house burning down.
Listen, yeah. Herky's younger brother, all right? He you know how early on, some people just, either from a hearing issue or whatever, as far as speech goes, they don't develop it until later on. Or
sure.
Figure out all. And I don't know if it was the fact that he had baby teeth missing or what. Well, what I'm saying is there was something going on with his mouth because he was perfectly fine, but he just had a hard time speaking. Okay. That makes sense. I don't know if he's like tongue tied or whatever the deal was, but I mean, it is.
Did he not have a disability?
No.
Oh, I thought all these years he had a disability.
No, he just.
It could be like my daughter with the whatever that little thing is on the bottom of your tongue, right? Oh. We talked to the speech therapist, and I said, look, she could talk. The problem is hers is shorter than most people's, so just certain sounds you make, she's going to work harder at it. That may have been Herky's. And his name's Herky.
Well, Herky's the older brother. Jason is the younger brother. I helped Jason. Jason was a quarterback in high school. We ended up practicing together, and I'm throwing balls and teaching him what I've been taught. But him running around in his pajamas, and he was probably 5, 6, 7 years old at the time. And, you know, his mom's trying to calm everybody down. The fire crew is there. The house is, I mean, it's engulfed in flames. You don't understand how hot it is. And he's running back and forth on the street, you know, like a kid on Adderall. But he's just being a kid, but the adrenaline. And he's just screaming, Hunky, Hunky, the house is on fire. And I was like, this whole image.
I mean, it's not fun.
Nobody wouldn't. He kept saying it over and over and over. His mom is sitting there, like everybody, but he's only addressing his brother,
right?
You know, the entire time, because I think he just got some kind of like a game station or something.
Oh, and it's burning up in there.
Oh, it's burning. He's losing his mind because he's just got like 4 or 5 new cartridges, 4 or 5 new games.
Oh yeah, that's all he cares about.
But he hid them underneath his pillow, and actually, 2 or 3 of the cartridges survived. The game system burned down.
Sure,
but believe it or not, yeah. The cartridge just survived being under a feather pillow, for whatever reason.
He used to make games proper back then.
Yeah.
Hunky, hunky. Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.